Welcome to Sports Med Res's This Week in Review podcast, where we highlight the recent news in sports medicine research. This past week, we had two posts on sportsmedres.org. That's res.org. The first post discussed a study that found that thickening of the posterior glenohumeral joint capsule is correlated with lower ranges of glenohumeral internal rotation in collegiate baseball athletes. The second post described a study that found that three transcranial magnetic stimulation sessions within 1 week could reduce the intensity of mild traumatic brain injury-induced headaches. Here to chat this week is Stephen Thomas, an assistant professor at Temple University who is co-founder of SportsMed Res and who has done research exploring glenohumeral joint capsules in athletes. Welcome, Steve.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
So to get us started, could you kind of briefly explain to the listeners why should we be concerned about the posterior capsule of glenohumeral joint and these concerns about reduced internal rotation?
Well, I think, the main thing goes back to biomechanics, so when you're an overhead athlete, the mechanics of throwing, put a lot of stress on our tissues, and we see these, like what I like to call adaptations. So because of that stress, and most of these overhead sports are unilateral, so we see this bilateral discrepancy in the stress that's placed on the arm. So, according to Wolf's Law, our tissue is going to adapt to that stress. And initially, our body's trying to do that in a healthy way to try to accommodate, the high stress, high frequency that we see. But I think over time, sometimes these compensations get a little worse and they start to become problematic in a certain way. So with the posterior capsule, if your rotator cuff isn't doing its job and absorbing the deceleration force, then, the only last kind of line of defense there to absorb the energy is your posterior capsule. So I think in those situations, we see the capsule will get thicker. Currently, we don't know, what thickness is too much or is problematic. That's one area that we haven't really honed in on yet to truly understand. We know it does get thicker based on my work and this new study. And the nice addition of this new study was that they found that it's thicker, but also using elastography, they found to show that that thickness does equate to increased stiffness, right? Or resistance in a range of motion. So that was always one thing that I wasn't able to show is that, okay, it's thicker, but does that mean, a loss of motion and a stiffer joint? And they were able to really directly show that. So that, that was a nice addition, I think, to the literature. In the long run, I think when we see this capsule get thicker, there's no data to support it, but I think it will alter the way we throw or we do our overhead motion. So when we have this restriction of motion or increased stiffness in the posterior shoulder, it will ultimately affect our mechanics. And that's going to, put more stress at different places of our arm and, potentially lead to injury. So I think that's the kind of the mechanism at play here.
So, Steve, is your take on this that the implications of this study, as well as some of the work that you've done in the past, will be towards identifying prevention strategies?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, that's what we want to do. We want to first identify the mechanism at which what's causing our problem. And then once we understand the mechanism, then we could, devise an optimal treatment strategy or even prevention strategy. So, and if we kind of, don't understand the mechanism and we just kind of apply treatment strategies, then we're not, giving that athlete the best care possible. So, being able to understand what's truly happening and the reasoning behind why they're getting hurt is the most important thing. And we don't have it completely understood yet. We know the capsule gets thick. It's shown to increase stiffness, but we haven't shown specifically that a certain level of thickness is going to equate to a higher likelihood of injury. All right. So that's one thing we haven't done yet. there's been studies to show that a loss of glenohumeral internal rotation will lead to higher risk of injury, right? But that's just your clinical measure of internal rotation. There's many sources that cause that GERD, the glenohumeral internal rotation deficit. So it could be the capsule, which we've shown the rotator cuff could also get, you know, tight and restrictive, right? And that's more common. You'll see that more in younger throwers. And the capsule tends to be more mature. They've had more time to kind of load that capsule and really stress it so that it adapts in that way. But then, you know, humeral retroversion is also a source of the bilateral difference in motion. So we need to really account for all three of these and see, you know, which one is the true source of the higher likelihood of injury. And that's one thing we don't understand at this moment.
So, Steve, I get the idea that we may be able to start predicting who's at risk for shoulder injury due to the variables you've identified, such as the capsule thickness and the internal rotation deficits, regardless of the source that it's from, and that this could help us eventually develop a prevention strategy. But as far as I'm aware, there's no clinical trials that have supported the use of a prevention strategy for shoulder injuries yet. So with that in mind, what should clinicians be doing today based on what we at least know so far?
Right. So there hasn't been, you know, a randomized controlled trial. It's a little bit difficult in especially baseball and higher levels of baseball because, you know, you can't give these players two different treatments. They communicate, they talk, they're very superstitious. So, you know, if you give one player one treatment and another, you know, common treatment, they're going to either just do the other thing on their own or they're going to, you know, talk, why am I not getting that? And, you know, the real goal in professional sports is to win games and championships. So the higher management wouldn't go for that either. So it's a little bit difficult to do these types of studies at that level. But, you know, with that said, I think, you know, not truly understanding the mechanism and the source of these right now, I think that, you know, the best we could do is first, you know, I always advocate for assessing the individual. So don't just do a blanket, everybody has a tight, you know, posterior shoulder, either cuff or capsule or both, right? We have to assess them first to truly understand if they do or not. And then based on our assessments, then we could individualize the care to that patient. So if they do have what we think is, you know, a tight cuff or capsule, yeah, I think the, you know, stretching, so the sleeper stretch has been used a lot. There's other ways to stretch the posterior shoulder too. Just, you know, scapular stabilized internal rotation works well. There's a couple other, you know, stretching techniques. But, you know, to truly get the capsule, if you think the capsule is very hypertrophied and scarred down, you know, joint mobilizations are going to be much more effective. And there has been some work to show that the combination of stretching and joint mobs reduces that, or, you know, improves that GERD that is seen clinically, more so than just stretching or joint mobs in isolation. So, yeah, I think I would, you know, advise with that. One thing we haven't been finding as well is, you know, without knowing retroversion, we don't know how much GERD is truly there. Because when we do total motion bilaterally, say a loss of total motion of 10 degrees bilaterally, we would assume that's all coming from the posterior shoulder because it's tight. Some recent data that we've collected, we actually see that when we control for humeral retroversion, sometimes the GERD goes away and the loss that we have is actually coming from external rotation. So some of these players will get a loss of external rotation as well. These internal rotators get extremely tight. I think one source is truly the teres major is a big contributor to this. And it's a difficult muscle to stretch. So in that situation, if we are observing an external rotation tightness, one way I've recently can come to assess that is if you measure external rotation, you know, you're not normal, you know, supine shoulder at 90, elbow at 90, and then you do it in more of a sleeper stretch position, if it gets tighter in that sleeper stretch position, so if you lose more extra rotation in the sleeper stretch, that's going to be coming from most likely the teres major. Because when you go into that position, you're actually taking slack off the anterior capsule. So you should gain extra rotation, not lose it. But if the teres major is tight, you're going to take up the length and you should, you know, it will cause a restriction earlier. So if you're seeing that clinically, I would, you know, kind of try to target that teres major. And the best way I've come to stretch this is I'm calling it a reverse sleeper stretch. So in that sleeper stretch position, instead of moving into internal rotation, I move into external rotation. And you don't have to worry about overstretching the capsule because, like I said, you're taking up the, you're putting that capsule in a slack position. So the true thing you're going to be stretching is the teres major and more isolation. So you don't have to worry about, you know, anterior capsule that's lax, you know, making it more lax or unstable. So that's kind of the approach that I've taken. And it's, yeah, that area is more new, the loss of external rotation. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see as we keep progressing where that leads us.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
No problem.
To our listeners, if you want more information about posterior capsule tightness or treatments for that, please check out our website for some related posts. Also, don't forget that we share extra material on social media. For example, this past week, our social media posts included a research paper where the authors concluded that genetic variations are related to the recovery after a concussion. They also noted that determining genetic influence on concussion recovery will aid in future development of genetic counseling. The clinical relevance of genotyping athletes could improve management of athletes who experience concussion injuries. And if you're an athletic trainer who's still looking for evidence-based practice to use, then please check out our 4 online courses available through Human Kinetics website. Remember, you can always follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or LinkedIn. We'll be back next week with more sports medicine research. Until then, have a fun one.